I want to look at something this evening. I don't think that there's anything that maybe we haven't seen or heard. Maybe for some, it might be the first time, but let's open to John chapter 14. Knowing is not the key. Being convinced is the key. You can know the scripture, but to me, knowing means that you're convinced of it. So John 14, in verses 9 and 10, says, Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Say, doeth the works. So you could say, if we want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. If we want to know what he's like, look at Jesus. If we want to see God at work, then we're going to see Jesus. If we want to know the will of God, then we can look to Jesus. Because what did he just get done saying? He said, The Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. So if we want to know the will of God, look at Jesus. Amen. So Jesus is what? He is the will of God in action. He is God's will in action. So let's, I'm going to read this other scripture, but you can turn over to Acts 10:38. John 6:38, he said, For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. So Acts 10:38. So Jesus didn't go around making people sick. He went around doing what? Good and healing. So he didn't make people sick. He healed people. He did good and healed. So Acts 10:38, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing some, all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. The Moffat translation says, all who were harassed by the devil. The Rue translation says, healing everyone in the devil's clutches. The Amplified says, harassed and oppressed by the power of the devil. And the New Berkeley translation says, healing all that were overpowered by the devil. So you can see here the devil, what? He comes to kill and to steal and to destroy. But Jesus said, I came that they might have life and life more abundantly. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he went around doing good, healing all, but who anointed him? God. He said, if you want to know who's doing the works, it's my Father. My Father God is doing the works. So God was the one healing. God was the one delivering. God was the one setting people free. So if we want to know what God's will is, we can see it in Jesus. God desired to reach his people, to reach all people, not just his covenant people, but all people, and he anointed someone. Who was that someone? Jesus, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. So you could say God is what? He's in the healing business. He's not in the sickness business. He's not in the bondage business. He's in the delivering business. Amen. Glory to God. So you could also say everyone that was healed under the ministry of Jesus was what? Was oppressed of the devil. Because that's what it just said. He said that he went about healing all that were what? Oppressed of the devil. Now that doesn't mean an evil spirit was present in every case, but it means who's the author of sickness? The devil is. And so it does not mean an evil spirit was present. It just means the devil is behind all of these sicknesses and diseases. Amen. So God has always opposed sickness. If you go through and let's start from the Old Testament, he was always providing a way for his covenant people to be healed. Well, that's no different. We have a better covenant. And so his desire is to heal all. If sickness was his will, why would he have made a provision for it? He wouldn't have. He made it in the Old Testament, and it was sealed and ratified by the blood of Jesus in this new and better covenant. So healing is in the plan of redemption. 2 Corinthians 3:17, familiar scripture verse, it says, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is what? Liberty. The Connie Bear translation says, now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord abides, there bondage gives place to freedom. Bondage gives place to freedom. The Jordan translation, where the Lord's Spirit rules, so does freedom. The Weymouth translation, where the Spirit of the Lord is, freedom is enjoyed. Where God's Spirit is, there's deliverance. There's freedom from sickness and disease. So we can see here that Scripture reveals the nature of God to us. Scripture reveals his nature. It also reveals the attitude of God towards sin and sickness and disease. Scripture reveals his attitude. It reveals his attitude towards sickness and disease, his nature, his attitude. Or you could say his thoughts, his will. What is his will? He healed all. So his nature, his thoughts, haven't changed through the ages. What does Malachi say? He said, I am the Lord, I what? I change not. I don't change. Hebrews, very familiar, verse 13 and 8. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So if Jesus didn't change, and everything he did was the Father doing the works, and God doesn't change, then his word doesn't change. His will doesn't change. And his will doesn't change regarding sickness and disease. It's a curse. James 1:17, every what? Good gift. And every perfect gift is from above, cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom there is what? No variableness or shadow of turning. He doesn't change. His will doesn't change. So it is God's will to heal us because healing is what? In his redemptive plan. It's in his redemptive plan. And here's a point. One of the biggest obstacles that we have is people being convinced that it's God's will to heal all. And I'm going to say it that way because if a person isn't convinced that it's God's will to heal all, how do they know that they are one of the all? Not one of the all. How do they know that they are the one that's to be healed? How do they know that? So if someone isn't convinced that it's God's will to heal all, that individual would have to have a special revelation from God that he wants to heal them. Right? They would have to. because that's where most people are. You know, we just don't know if it's God's will to heal this person. Whatever God's will is, let it be done. Well, we know what his will is. His will is to heal them. And if there's a problem, it's in our faith to be convinced that it's his will. That's where the problem is. Be it unto you according to your faith. That's what Jesus always would say. So if there's a problem, it's in our problem of being convinced that it's his will to heal all. And we're one of that all because it's in the redemptive plan. He redeemed some, or did he redeem all? He redeemed all. That means that healing is for all. That means that there's never a question whether it's his will to heal me or not. It's his will. Because as I said, if it wasn't, then we'd have to have a revelation from God that he's cherry picking. He's saying, okay, I'll heal this one, I'll heal this one. How do you know? You have to be convinced. So it's the same thing. How would you ever get a person to be convinced that they would be made the righteousness of God by believing on his son? How would they ever be convinced of that if it was not for all? How would they ever be convinced of that? How would they ever say, well, I'm so messed up. I've lived my life a certain way. God could never make me righteous. But a person has to be what? They have to know what the will of God is from the scripture. They have to be convinced of that, that God's will is to make you righteous. Well, you've already been in God's eyes. All mankind have been made right with him, and that all one has to do is receive it and believe. And the power of God goes into operation, no different with disease and sickness. In God's eyes, we've already been healed. Yes. We've been healed. Himself took my infirmities and bore my sicknesses. With his stripes, I have been healed. But we have to believe it. We have to believe that he did that for all. So you would never get a person if they weren't convinced that it was God's will to make them right with him. How would they ever be convinced of that? They'd have to get some revelation from God that they were the ones that God's going to make you right with him. And boy, there'd be enough reasons why you'd believe otherwise. If you just looked at your life, you go, man, forget it. My life was a mess. So we have to believe, or as we say it this way, faith begins where the will of God is known. So we have to know what the will of God is concerning sin, and we must be convinced of it. And we have to know what the will of God is concerning sickness and disease and be convinced of it. We got to know his will. So faith must rest on the will of God alone. Faith comes where the will of God is known, and my faith must rest upon the will of God alone, not just on my desire or my wishes. And then, yes, the scripture says that I can have those things that I desire when I pray, but those desires must be based upon, totally upon the will of God. Has to be. So I've got to believe that. If I'm not convinced that it's for all, then I would have to add to my prayer, if it be thy will. If I wasn't convinced that it was his will to heal me as one of the all, then I'd have to say, just like that person came to Jesus and said, Lord, if it be thy will. And he said, I do will. Didn't he? So if he doesn't change, then it's his will. If it was his will back then it's his will now. So let's look at some scriptures here. Let's go over to that. Let's look at that particular scripture in Mark chapter 1. Let's go over there. Mark chapter 1, and let's look at verse 40. And it said, there came, this is Mark chapter 1, verse 40 in the King James, it said, there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. So he corrected his if thou wilt with I will, be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him and he was cleansed. So he canceled the leper's if with I will. I will, be thou clean. Let's look at Exodus. Let's go over to Exodus 23. Exodus chapter 23. Let's look at verse 25 and 26. It says, and you shall serve the Lord your God, and he shall bless thy bread and thy water, and I will take what? Sickness away from the midst of thee. There shall nothing cast their young, nor be barren in thy land. The number of thy days I will fulfill. So you can see here, he said, if you serve him, he'll do what? Bless your bread and water and do what? Remove. He'll take sickness away from the midst of thee. So let's look at Luke chapter 4. I want to look at some of these scriptures that highlight the word all or every. Everyone. All and everyone. It says, now when the sun, Luke 4, verse 40. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with divers diseases brought them unto him, and he laid hands on every one of them and healed them. He didn't lay them on a few. He laid hands on everyone and healed them. Let's see here. I want to get over to Matthew 8:17, but before we do, let's look at that scripture in Isaiah. Isaiah 53, that particular scripture that's referenced. Let's look at Isaiah 53, verses 4 and 5. Verse 4, it says, surely he, Jesus, hath borne our griefs or sicknesses and carried our sorrows, or you could say diseases. Yet he did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. Now let's go over to Matthew 8 and verse 17. It says that it might be fulfilled. Actually, let me... I think we might back up a little bit here. Yeah, let's look at verse 16. It says, when the even was come, they brought unto him many that were possessed with devils. And he cast out the spirits with his word and did what? And healed all that were sick. Colon. Means the thought continues. That it might be fulfilled that was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. You could say that word our there really means everybody. It means all. It means everyone. And that was provided for at Calvary. So if you look at, let's just take a quick look at 2 Corinthians 5:21. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. It says, for he hath made him to be sin for us, who what? Who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So the objective really here of his sin bearing was that we would be what? Free from sin or delivered from sin. So the objective of what? His sickness bearing was that we would be free from sickness and disease. So it's in the plan of redemption. That was his objective, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Christ or in him, and that we would be free from sickness and disease. That was his object or objective. He was the sin bearer and the sickness bearer. That's what we just got done reading in Isaiah, in the book of Isaiah. He hath borne our griefs or sicknesses and carried our diseases. And so you can look at 1 Peter 2:24. It says, who his own self did what? Bear our sins in his own body, where? On the tree. That we, being dead to sin, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. So if we were, then we are. That means right now we are healed. We have to be convinced that it's his will and that it's ours to take. God doesn't want his people to be sick. He provided for us to be free. He doesn't want us to have those things that pertain to the devil. He said, I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. So things that belong to the devil, our enemy, who we've been delivered from, he wants us to have no part of that or to walk in it. He bore sin and he bore sickness so that we would be free. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom, there's liberty. Amen. Glory to God. So let's look at Matthew. Let's look at, go over to the ministry of Jesus. Let's look at Matthew chapter 4. Excuse me, I was looking at something. Matthew chapter 4, verse 23. It says, and Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, and preaching what? The gospel of the kingdom, and healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And his fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed with devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had the palsy, and he healed them, or you could say he healed them all. Let's look at Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 35. And Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues. What was he doing? You could see here, teaching in their synagogues. And preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness, not some, every sickness and every disease among the people. So you could see here that what was that order of importance there? Teaching and preaching and healing. So you can see the same thing when he went to Nazareth, his hometown, and he wasn't able to get the results. From there, he did what? He went about teaching and preaching. And so continuing in verse 36 of this chapter, Matthew 9, it says, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers unto the harvest. Chapter 10, in verse 1, and when he called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to do what? Heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. So if it wasn't his will to heal all, then why would he have given that to his disciples? He wouldn't have. And if it wasn't his will for us to do it, then why would he have done that where his disciples were concerned? It was his will. Matthew chapter 12. In verse 15. Well, let's back up. We can read 14 and 15. It said, then the Pharisees went out and held a council against him, Jesus, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all. So this is what we're trying to point out here, that in the ministry of Jesus, everywhere he went, he did what? He healed everyone and he healed all. So if he healed all, then it's his will to heal all today. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Who anointed him? God, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. So if it's the will of God to heal all, then it's his will today. And we have to be absolutely convinced of that. Matthew chapter 14. And here's the point. When we get these truths buried down in our hearts, then we're convinced that it's not only God's will for me, but for every person that I come in contact with that's in a situation in trouble, it's God's will for them. And we are carriers of what? The gospel, the good news. You could almost say how we went about doing good and healing all that we came in contact with. Because we are what? Anointed with the Holy Ghost. Not without measure, but with measure. But the scripture says that we're going to do the same works that he did. Greater works. Matthew, 14 and verse 14. Matthew 14, 14. It says, and Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion toward them. And he did what? He healed their sick. It didn't say he healed some of their sick. He healed their sick. That implies all. That implies all, not just some. Because otherwise it would have said he was just able to heal some. Didn't say that. In that same chapter, let's look at verse 34, starting in verse 34. It says, when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they did what? They sent out into all the country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased. All. And all that country. And besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. That means all. They brought all. But it also said, as many as touched were made whole, were made perfectly whole. It's not his will just to heal some, it's his will to heal all. Luke chapter 6. Luke chapter 6. And verse 17 and 18 and 19. And it says, and he came down with them. This is after they came down out of the mountain after praying. It says, and he came down with them and stood in the plain and the company of his disciples and a great multitude of people out of what? All of Judea and Jerusalem. And from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And continuing in verse 18, and they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. Now, isn't it interesting? I haven't seen this. I just, you know, just reading this, sometimes you read a scripture and isn't it interesting? It says here, for the whole multitude did what? Sought to touch him. Faith. And what happened? Virtue flowed out of him. It didn't say virtue just flowed out of him. It said they all sought to touch him. And they came. What does it say here? It said here, and he came down with them and stood in the plain in the company of, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon, which did what? They came to hear him. And to be healed of their diseases. They came expecting. Isn't that something right there? Sometimes we just read right over that. But they came expecting, and what did it say? And the whole multitude sought to touch him. Faith caused the power of God to be released, the virtue of God. See? See? This is what we're talking about here. Faith activated the power of God. This is why it's so important that we continue to teach these truths, because we have to be convinced that it's God's will to heal me, and I just reach out and take it. I just take it. I take it. I take it, Lord. I take it. And what does that cause? The power of God to begin to work in my body. Amen. Just like here. Just like here. And what happened? It says, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. Amen. Let's look at Mark 9. Mark chapter 9. Starting in verse 14. And you can see here, he had already given, he'd given his disciples the authority and the power to do these things. Now, look here what he said. And when he came to his disciples, he saw a great multitude about them, and the scribes questioning with them. And straightway all the people, when they beheld him, were greatly amazed, and running to him, saluted him. And he asked the scribes, what question ye with them? And one of the multitude answered and said, Master, I have brought unto thee my son, which hath a dumb spirit. And wheresoever he taketh him, he teareth him, and he foameth and gnasheth with his teeth, and pineth away. And I spake to thy disciples that they should cast him out, and they could not. And he answereth him and saith, O faithless generation, how long shall I be with you, and how long shall I suffer you? Bring him unto me. And they brought him unto him, and when he saw him, straightway the spirit tear him, and he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. And he asked his father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire, into the waters to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said unto them, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. And straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. And when Jesus saw the people came running together, he rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him, enter no more into him. And the spirit cried and rent him sore and came out of him, and he was as one dead, insomuch that many said, he is dead. But Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. In verse 28, and when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, why could not we cast him out? And he said unto them, this kind cometh forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. But you can see here, even when the disciples failed, Jesus still did what? He healed. Even when they missed it, he healed. It's his will to heal. It's his will to deliver. So we can see here that it's God's will to heal, even after the failure on the disciples' part, which was really nothing but unbelief. Let's take a look at Acts 10. Acts chapter 10. And starting in verse 34, so then Peter opened his mouth and said, "Of a truth, I perceive that God is what? No respecter of persons. But in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted with him. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached." This is Peter preaching here. "How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and hanged on a tree." I'm telling you, this is tremendous. So here, you know, Peter, he spent those three and a half years around Jesus. And so that impact upon him, he got up and did what? He shared how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with what? With power. Who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil. Hallelujah. Let's back up to Acts 5. Let's look at verse 12, starting there. It says, "And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And of the rest durst no man join himself to them, but the people magnified them. And believers were the more added to the Lord, multitudes both of men and women, insomuch that they brought forth the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might overshadow some of them. There came also a multitude out of the cities round about unto Jerusalem, bringing sick folks and them which were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed every one." Everyone that came was healed. Everyone. He's not a respecter of persons. Let's take a look at Acts 28. Is on the Isle of Melita. And verse 7. It said, In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Publius lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were what? Healed. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's turn over to the book of Proverbs. Let's take a look at a familiar scripture, Proverbs chapter 4. Starting in verse 20, Proverbs 4, verse 20. My son, attend to my words. Incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Or you could say, let not my sayings depart from your eyes. Keep them in the midst of your heart, of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health, or you could say medicine, to all their flesh. The NIV says, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to a man's whole body. Their health or medicine to our bodies. The New Living Translation says, for they bring life to those who find them, and healing to their whole body. What does? His sayings, his word, his will brings healing and health and medicine to our bodies. And we're not to do what? Let it depart from thine eyes, but keep it in the midst of thy heart. The Amplified Translation says, for they are life to those that find them, healing and health to all their flesh. Healing and health to all their flesh. Say healing and health to all our flesh. Healing and health to all our flesh. The God's Word translation, because they are life to those who find them, and they heal the whole body. Not just some parts, they heal the whole body. The whole body. Hallelujah. His word is medicine and heals the whole body. The complete Jewish translation says, for they are life to those who find them and health to their whole being. Health. Good News translation says they give life and health to anyone who understands them. The Jerusalem Bible says they are life to those who grasp them, health for the entire body. His word is health to our whole body. Why should we incline our ears to his sayings? Because they are what? Life and health to our whole body. Life and health to my whole body. This is why we need to have our minds renewed. And that's why when the scripture says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you do what? Prove. That means you test. That word prove means to test the validity or the genuineness of something. So you prove it. Just like when they saw Jesus do something, they came out to hear him, to get something. You're proving the word of God. Of course, we know it's settled, but for each one of us, there's areas of our life where maybe it's not settled. You understand what I mean by that? Somebody might say, well, I know about this, but this seems to be, I don't know about that. Maybe not for that. That's a big deal. You know, maybe a person got a diagnosis. Maybe they can believe God for, you know, they believe he'll heal a cold, but they're not sure about some other disease. It's just too big. Maybe it's not God's will. You've got to be convinced that himself took my infirmities and bore not some of my sicknesses, all my sicknesses. And by his stripes, we were healed. We have to be convinced of that and believe it. And when the scripture says, be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, to me, that also means you hear people say, ah, you know, we're just getting older. You know, when you get older, and they'll rattle off a list of things. I don't buy it. I'm not buying it. I'm not taking the package, as they say, because he renews our strength and if his word is medicine to all my flesh, what does the scripture also say? The joy of the Lord is my strength. So we don't think like the world. He's given us a better covenant. He's provided for us to have health and healing and wholeness and strength. We don't have to operate like the world. We don't have to think like they think because they don't have a covenant like we have. Ours has been sealed in the blood of Jesus. Amen. You know, if we would just trust and believe God that his will is for me to be healed, when something comes up in my body, I have to be convinced that it's God's will that, no, wait a minute, where did this come from? What caused this? Where did I leave the door open? Because it's his will. When I hear people say, well, you know, we prayed and it didn't happen, so it must not have been God's will. No. Somewhere along the line, we have to be absolutely convinced that it's God's will to heal all, and that if something didn't work out properly, I missed it somewhere. I've got to understand that. And then begin to say, okay, God, I know it's your will to heal. I know it's your will for me to walk in divine health. If I'm not walking in divine health, what corrections need to be made? And the Holy Ghost will show you. He'll show you. So this is where we have to be convinced. And we have to keep the word of God before our eyes. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith begins where the will of God is known. We have to absolutely be convinced. What does it say? If I want to know the will of God, look at Jesus. If I want to see what God's will is, look at Jesus. Jesus was the will of God in action. And what did he do in action? He healed all that came to him. Hallelujah. And that scripture over there that we got done reading in in the book of Luke, that to me, in Luke chapter 6 and verse 17, see, always remember, wherever he was, the power of God was present to heal. Wherever Jesus was, the power of God was present to heal. That means wherever two or three are gathered together in his name, what did he say? I am there in your midst. That means where two or three of you are gathered together, the presence of the Lord is there to heal. He's in you. That means the presence of the Lord is there to heal. You just need to reach out and accept it. Receive it. But I like this here. It says, when he came down and stood in the plain in the company, and a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the seacoast of Tyre and Sidon came to do what? Hear him and to be healed of their diseases. This is just like the woman with the issue of blood. She heard of Jesus and came to get something. See? So I believe, I know you do too, but I believe that it's his will to heal all, not just some. And there's no case that's too hard for God. There's nothing impossible with God to them who do what? Believe. And we have to believe that it's his will to heal all. Amen. Glory to God. I know you believe, but let's say that, Father, I believe that it's your will to heal all, and I believe that as we incline our ears to your word and don't let them depart from thine eyes, that your word, and we keep it in the midst of our hearts, that when we find the word and we understand it, it'll become life and medicine to all our flesh. Remember, just keep this in mind. Just because you quote a scripture, what causes the power of God to be released? Faith does. Just quoting a scripture. People quote scripture all the time. It's faith that causes the power of God to be activated and released. So we need to keep the word of God before our eyes and in our hearts, meditating upon it, like Joshua 1:8 says, and observing to do it, and then we make our way prosperous. So just quoting a scripture, I'm not saying you shouldn't. You keep quoting the scripture. But when faith is present, the power of God is activated. When you release your words in faith, the power of God is activated. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, Father, we thank you for this time we've had together to meditate and touch spiritual things. And we thank you, Father, that as we do, our minds are being renewed. We thank you that we're touching spiritual things. And we thank you that as we do, we touch you. We touch divine thoughts, the divine thoughts and purposes of God. We touch them and embrace them. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, for unfolding and revealing this word, your word, to us. And we thank you that these truths are growing and expanding in our hearts to the place where we are becoming convinced of the realities of your truths and the realities of your will to us. And we thank you that we'll bring these to the world that's hurting. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.